بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد, we're going to start the second part now. So we looked at al-hayd, which is the normal menses, and then istihaba is something which is not normal. We'll look at this inshallah, and then the third part we'll be looking at some of the ahkam related to hayd. So to begin with, what is istihada? The word istihada, this is from the Arabic. And what it implies is continuous bleeding. That a woman keeps on bleeding from the private parts and it doesn't stop. Or that it only stops for a very short time. This is what is defined in the Sharia. Medically, they say that there is a number of abnormal bleeding, or a number of kind of abnormal bleeding that women can suffer. I've got something here I just wanted to show you. This is also from the NHS website. It's quite very useful, actually. So as you can see, they've kind of identified here a number of forms of abnormal bleeding. The first, the one here, which I'm pointing to here, that is considered a kind of menses, but it's very painful. There is a lot of pain associated with them. The second one here, which I'm pointing to, is I'm not reading the name because I'm not sure how to pronounce them. But the second one here is considered to be heavy menstrual bleeding. But what we'll be looking at is the postmenopausal bleeding. That's, we won't touch on that. But this last area here, non-menstrual vaginal bleeding, and this is, I think, what we can count or consider as istihada. So it is not ordinary, normal bleeding. It is not connected to the menses, but it is coming from the same place or same part of the body. And actually, if you go to the same website, they tell you what, if a woman does have this, what she should do about it. As you can see on the this diagram here, that there are a number of possibilities according to the doctors. So if that is the case of istihada, so there is a possibility of pregnancy. And then they follow a number of paths or routes to diagnose what the problem is. So if there is a possibility of pregnancy, then as you can see, what they would look at. If there's not pregnancy, then there are a number of other issues which they would also look at. So if a woman does suffer this, this is something that she should seek medical advice for. But of course, there are fiqh matters that she needs to understand. This is what I'll be discussing. But so the medical matters, inshallah, go to your GP and then inshallah seek appropriate medical advice. So istihada, we're going to talk about istihada, inshallah. And there are a number of things, a couple of points I will cover, that the one who is suffering from this non-menstrual bleeding, it can be either a person who had a regular cycle prior to this, or a person who had no regular cycle, but is able to distinguish between the blood of this blood of hayd, blood of menses, and this other blood. Or the third scenario is that the person, the woman, had no regular cycle before and she can't distinguish between the two. So for each there are rules, and inshallah this is what we'll look at. So first of all, in the case of a woman who had a regular cycle before the istihada, what should she do? So let's say she had a regular cycle of 6 days or 7 days or even 5 days before this prolonged or extra bleeding. What does she do? Let's say she had 6 days at the beginning of the month. Then the bleeding continued. Bleeding carries on with her and doesn't stop. What does she do? The answer is, she refers to her cycle before the istihada. So if it was 5 regular days, she takes the 5 as her hayd, and anything extra as being istihada, as being abnormal bleeding. If it was 6 days, she takes the 6 days as her menses, and the rest as istihada. The proof for this is the hadith of Aisha. Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. These are one of the hadith on hayd. And there aren't that many hadith on hayd. There's about 3 or 4, as I mentioned, from Imam Ahmed. So they're not very difficult to remember, inshallah. So this first hadith is from Aisha. She says that Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh. Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh said to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I do not become clean. She says that I am a woman who has istihaba. I do not become clean. Shall I give up my prayers? Meaning, should I not pray? So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rasulullah said, no, because it is from a blood vessel. This bleeding is from a blood vessel and not the menses. So when the real menses begins, give up your salah, stop praying. And when the menses finish, wash the blood off your body and offer your prayers. And this is hadith from Al-Bukhari and Muslim. I'll read it again, inshallah. But I'll give you at the end something to read, and you'll find all of these hadith there. So if you didn't catch it, inshallah, you'll be able to get it later on. Aisha, she's saying that Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't become clean because of this bleeding. Shall I give up my salah? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, because it is from a blood vessel and not the menses. So when the real menses begins, give up your salah, and when it finishes, then wash the blood of your body and offer your prayers. So meaning there, what Rasulullah is saying to this woman, that this bleeding is not menses, it's coming from something else. So when your menses start, that you know you had a regular cycle, whatever, so you regard that as menses and you stop praying in that time. And then when that your time, you know your regular period has gone, then whatever is extra, you take it as istihada, and that doesn't prevent you from praying and fasting and so on. Is that clear, inshallah? And we have a second hadith from Aisha also, who said that Ummu Habiba bint Jahsh complained to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about bleeding. And he said, remain the day you used to have menses. Meaning that the days that you used to have menses before, stay those days without salah and so on, then wash completely. So she, Ummu Habiba, is another woman who experiences istihada. Rasulullah is saying to her that the days that you used to have your cycles before, so those days you keep, you observe as being your menses, and then when you finish those, you wash, you do complete ghusl, and then you pray and fast and whatever. And this hadith is from Muslim. This is the first situation, when a woman had a regular cycle. Now a second situation or a second case is when a woman did not have a cycle before. For example, a girl who's just starting off, she didn't have a regular cycle before. Or even perhaps a woman forgot what her cycle was. Or even maybe that her cycle is always different. So what does she do? Her situation is she has to distinguish, she has to try and distinguish between the two types of blood, between the menstrual blood and the other abnormal blood. Okay, what is the difference? What is the difference between menstrual blood and the abnormal blood? They say that researchers or scholars, they say that in terms of color, the menstrual blood is darker, darkish kind of red, and istihada, the blood of istihada or the abnormal blood, is red. And in terms of thickness, the menstrual blood is thick and heavy, and the blood of istihada is thin. And also there is another factor which distinguishes them, is the smell. They say that menstrual blood has an offensive smell, whereas istihada or the abnormal blood does not. And the last distinction between them is the clotting. I don't know how true this is, but this is what some researchers have mentioned, that menstrual blood does not clot when it comes out of the body, whilst the blood of istihada does clot. So these are a few 4 points to help a woman to distinguish. So if she had no regular cycle before, now she has to look. When she is experiencing prolonged bleeding, has to look at the blood and to examine the blood. Look at the color, the smell, the thickness, and the clotting and so on, and try and differentiate between them. So if she sees that the blood is the blood of Hayd, then she takes it as this is her menses. If she sees that the blood is different and it's not like the blood of menses, then she takes it as istihaba, as abnormal bleeding. Is that clear, sisters? Okay. And then what is the proof for this? The proof for this is the hadith of Aisha, also from Fatima bint bint Hubaysh, who used to suffer istihaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that menstrual blood, damul hayd, is black, which can be recognized. Now when he meant black, possibly kind of darkish kind of color. So he said that menstrual blood is black, which can be recognized. So if it is that, if it is the case that it is menstrual blood, then stop praying. And if it is the other, that meaning it is not the menstrual blood, then do wudu and pray. So if it is istihaba, you can pray. Okay, this is the second case. Now, moving on to a third case now. The third case is a woman who did not have a regular cycle or does not know her regular cycle, and she cannot distinguish between the two types of blood. So what does she do? She goes by the average menstrual cycle of other women who are similar to her. Okay, so for example, if she's got a sister or cousins or whatever, and they have menses for about five or six days, then she takes that as being the average. Or she's in a community, most of the women, they have menses for 6 days or 7 days or 5 days, so she goes by what is the average amongst these women. Alright, so this is the case of a woman. She doesn't know what her cycle was. Or a girl who is starting off on menses, and she doesn't have her cycle, and she can't tell whether this is menstrual blood or the blood from istihada. So she looks at a woman around and goes by that cycle. Okay, so for example, let's say that a woman, she sees blood on the fifth day of the month. On the fifth day of the month. And it continues, carries on. Okay, and we said that let's say that the regular cycle for the average cycle for women around her is 6 days. So what does this woman do? So she takes from the fifth day, that is when her menses start. So she counts 6 days, and then this is the time of her menses. After the 6 days, whatever is extra is considered to be istihaba. Right? And the proof for this is the hadith of Hamna bint Jahsh. Hadith of Hamna bint Jahsh, who's the sister of Zainab. Zainab bint Jahsh. She said, I used to suffer severe and heavy bleeding. So I came to the Prophet to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I used to suffer severe and heavy bleeding, so I came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is something from shaitan. Your menses is for 6 or 7 days, then have a complete wash. When you are purified, pray for 24 or 23 days and fast. That is part of the hadith. So she said, I used to suffer severe and heavy bleeding, so I came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is something from shaitan, your menses. And what he means by something from shaitan, that shaitan is trying to deceive her, you know, or kind of fool her in her ibadah. So it's from shaitan. So your menses is for 6 or 7 days, then have a complete wash. When you're purified, pray for 24 or 23 days and fast. So this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says 6 or 7 days, is not to choose. It's a way, an indication that is to look at which is similar to women who are like her, women around her. So if it's 6 days, she takes it as 6 days. If it's 7 days, she takes it as seven. If it's less, then less. More, then more. That is what a woman does who is in a state who cannot distinguish between the blood and does not have a regular cycle. So these are three cases. So let's go through them again. So first of all, woman who had a regular cycle before the istihada, what should she do? Yes. So if she had a cycle of 6 days or six days, she takes 6 days as menses and the rest as istihaba. Okay, good. A woman who did not have a regular cycle, but can distinguish, what does she do? Not the time, but the to look at the blood. That's right. To look at the blood and to see which, try and distinguish between the menstrual blood and the abnormal blood. Okay. And finally, the case of the woman or a girl who did not have a cycle or does not have a cycle and cannot distinguish as well. What should she do? That's right. She takes the average cycle of the women around her. Because why do you say around her? Because it'll be more common, right? So women in a community or related women would have a similar kind of cycle. So she takes the average cycle of women around her, 6 or 7 or 5, whatever the number of days that is. Okay, alhamdulillah, that's good. Now, let's move on to a few more issues related to istihada. There could be other things which could be a cause of vaginal bleeding. For example, operation. A woman may have an operation and this could cause bleeding. So what happens? What is the situation in this case? First, if there are two scenarios or two cases here, if the operation is such that there is no possibility of menses, such as what? What kind of operation? Anybody? Yes. Okay, so if the womb is completely removed and there is no possibility of menses, then, and a woman has some bleeding from the private parts, what does she do? That blood is treated, sorry? No. That blood is not treated as istihada. That blood is treated like a discharge. So she does not do ghusl, or she does not stop from praying or fasting. However, she should wash the blood if it's on her body or clothes and perform wudu for each salah. Okay? Now, that's first case. Second case, if the operation or the procedure would not prevent menses, or it's not known whether it would prevent menses or not, and there is some bleeding afterwards, what does she do? The answer is, if there is possibility of having menses after the procedure, after the operation, then that bleeding is considered to be istihaba. Okay, this differentiation sounds a little strange. And the reason why this distinction is why? Because of the hadith of Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh, which we looked at earlier from Bukhari and Muslim. Because what did the Prophet say to her? The Prophet said no, because it is from a blood vessel and not the menses. So when the real menses begin, give up your prayers. When it has finished, wash the blood of your body. So the hadith indicates that istihada only applies to one who has menses. Can you see that, sisters? So the hadith shows that istihada only applies to a woman who it's possible for her to have menses. If it's not possible for her to have menses, then she cannot have istihada. So the hukum of istihada does not apply to her, only if she has menses, then we say that is istihada. Is that understood? Yeah. The second part, if a woman has an operation or a procedure and that causes bleeding from her private parts, that bleeding is treated as... we have to see first of all the operation. Is it possible for her to have menses? If it's not possible, then we say that that blood is not istihada. Okay? If it is possible for her to have menses after it, then that blood is blood of istihada. And the reason or the evidence for this is the hadith of Fatim bint Abi Hubaysh, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith connected istihada to menses. So if there is no menses, then the hukum of istihada does not apply. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, a few more issues regarding istihada, actually. We'll come back to it later on. We'll touch on it now. That is, the woman who is suffering from istihada, she is not prevented from salah or fasting, right? Or even tawaf. Okay, these things only prevent the woman in hayd, as we'll see, inshallah, in the last part. So the woman who is in istihada, she has to pray, she has to fast, and if she goes for Hajj or Umrah, she can perform the tawaf. Okay, so what is the proof for this? First of all, before that, if she does do salah, she has to do wudu for every salah. She has to do wudu for every salah because of the hadith in Al-Bukhari. Rasulullah said to the woman, perform wudu for every salah till the time of the next period comes. If, let's say she wants to pray Asr now. So she has to wait until the time of Asr begins and then do wudu and then pray her salah. If she wants to do Nafl Salah outside, and then she has to do wudu and pray the Nafl Salah. Is it clear? Okay, that's one. And secondly, she has to, before doing her wudu, she has to cleanse herself from any blood from her body or clothes, as the Prophet ﷺ instructed the women to do so. I'm going to move on now, inshallah, to nifas. And this is not a long topic. Now, what is nifas? Nifas is bleeding due to labor or due to childbirth, delivering a child. And that can happen at the time of labor itself or a couple of days, two or three days before labor, if they are accompanied with contractions. So this is nifas. Nifas is bleeding due to labor at the time of labor itself or two or three days before labor if that is accompanied with contractions. So what that means, if a woman gives birth to a baby, then the blood that appears, that is nifas. And nifas has its hukum, and as we'll see inshallah, similar to hayd. How long does the nifas last? First of all, or before that, is there a minimum and a maximum period for nifas? There is. Some people say there is, yes. Okay. What is it? 40 days, yes. 40 days, the maximum period for nifas, according to the majority of the scholars, is 40 days. The maximum period of nifas, according to the majority of the scholars, is 40 days. And if it goes over 40 days, then it is considered to be, what would it be? Istihada. Unless it happens to coincide with her hayd. Right? What does that mean? So for example, 40 days have expired and then she sees some bleeding and she knows that this is time that normally she would have hayd. So if it coincides with the normal menses she used to have before birth, then that would be considered as hayd. But if it doesn't coincide with her hayd, then it would be considered as istihada. Okay. So majority of the scholars, as you've correctly said, that the maximum period for nifas is 40 days. Some other scholars, like Imam Malik and Imam Shafi, and also Imam Ahmed in one report, said that the longest may last 60 days. However, the 40 days is the strongest period, the strongest, most correct opinion, inshallah, according to the saying of Umm Salama, who said that at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the woman in nifas would wait for 40 days. So she said that at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the woman in nifas would wait for 40 days. And this is reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. Some scholars say this is not authentic, this is da'if, but however, inshallah, it is considered to be hasan. Imam al-Nawawi and others, they class this as hasan, so it is a proof, inshallah. That's the maximum period. With regard to the minimum period, most of the scholars have not set any limit. So for example, if a woman gives birth and then her bleeding only lasts for a few days or even very short time, then that's it. She is considered to be clean from nifas. And that's the end of nifas. And Imam At-Tirmidhi said in his Sunan that the view of the scholars among the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and those who came after them was that the woman in nifas should not pray for 40 days unless she sees that she is pure before that, in which case she should do ghusl and start praying. Okay, so clearly from this statement of Imam At-Tirmidhi, from the Sahaba and Tabi'een, they used to consider 40 days as maximum, and that unless before that she becomes pure, then in which case she should do ghusl and start praying. Okay, what do we consider to be nifas? When does it count? What is counted as nifas? If a woman has a miscarriage, or let's say a woman has an abortion, and there is bleeding after this. Abortion, of course, is not allowed except in very specific cases. Right. So when do we consider nifas? Nifas is only considered, that is, that woman would be considered to be nifas only if the child that is born, or that the child that comes out, has human form. For example, if the child or whatever, the fetus comes out and is not developed, right, it doesn't have any human features, then the bleeding that may accompany that is not considered as nifas, but rather as istihaba. And the scholars, they say the minimum period for a human fetus to develop is 80 days, but mostly 90 days from conception. Okay, so woman needs to see, so if she has a miscarriage or something, or some other procedure, so she has to see if that child, the features have developed or not. And if the features have not developed, then she is not considered as being nifas, but rather istihada. Is it clear, sisters? And far the last point on nifas is that the nifas has the same rulings as hayd, as we'll see, inshallah ta'ala. The nifas has the same ruling as hayd, and that will be the last part. So, alhamdulillah, this part was shorter. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ سَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ